Good morning. Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the flower. Good morning to the tree. Good morning to the bee and the worm in the earth. Good morning to your self-worth. Good morning to your optimism. Good morning to your positive attitude. Good morning to a cup of coffee, right? Because it is April the 24th. That's right, April the 24th, 2025. Boblimpdoc. 4 times 5 is 20, right? You add 5 to 20, you get 25. It started with 2020. And here we are. Here's an article from AP News. It's not a recent article, but it's not too far in the past. This article was published on November the 21st, 2024. And it was written by, it's just published from AP, so I don't have a written by. But, headline, Ursula Haverbeck, German far-right activist repeatedly convicted for Holocaust denial, dies at 96. Ursula Haverbeck, a prominent German far-right activist, who accumulated a string of convictions for denying the Holocaust, has died. She was 96 years old. Haverbeck died on Wednesday. Her lawyer, Wolfram Narath, told German news agency DPA on Thursday. Haverbeck repeatedly asserted that the Auschwitz camp was a work camp. In fact, historians say at least 1.1 million Jews were murdered there by the Nazis. She was first convicted and fined in 2004, and several further convictions for incitement followed, some of them carrying prison sentences. In one of those cases, she served more than 2 years in prison in the western city of Bielefeld between 2018 and 2020. A small far-right party, the Right, chose her as a candidate for the 2019 European Parliament election. Haverbeck was convicted in June of 2024 for incitement and sentenced to a year and 4 months in prison by the Hamburg State Court. Anyways, I'm getting pop-ups from this, but that's the whole article, yeah. It's funny, if you research the subject of Holocaust denial in Germany, a lot of links don't work. A lot of the places you try to find information either time out or just like I said, the information's shady. But I can't really tell you how much of the story of Holocaust denial in Germany is true. What I mean by that is the following. It's kind of like the ham radio thing. Ham radio people love to tell you that if you use a ham radio without a license, that you'll go to jail, that you'll get sued. And the reality is, if you research this subject, the enforcement by the FCC is rather bleak to none. And a lot of people use ham radios without having proper licenses, especially in the digital space, like JSA Call. And I'll tell you something else, too. There are so many dead, zombie, broken, weird call signs out there on JSA Call that you could simply pick one and nobody would know the difference and nobody would care. If you're not interested in talking to a ham, and if you actually look at what they say on JSA, it's mostly radios, antennas, weather, and, you know, pushing the COVID bullshit. So why would you want to talk to a ham anyways? But let's say you're on JSA Call. Why wouldn't you use one of these call signs that the hams don't want to interact with? You don't have to interact with them. The reality is the FCC cannot get you, won't get you. Now let's get back to this Holocaust denial. It's hard to say what this means exactly, Because I'm sure the law is written in such a way that it's not just you walk down the street and say, I think the Holocaust was bullshit. If that was the case, I think the German jails would fill up rather quickly. What you're guilty of is being known, recognized, having celebrity or quote-unquote popularity, and then questioning the historical event. As far as Ursula Haverbeck goes, I have no idea how legit she is or was. She is dead now. I don't know how many people are in jail for Holocaust denial because I got tired of dead links about an hour and a half ago. I'm probably going to dig deeper later on today. But I just find it hard to believe that that many people are actually in jail for this. And does that mean nobody questions the Holocaust? No, that's not what that means logically. Not at all. In fact, I think if they started seriously prosecuting this as an issue, it would have the unintended consequence of putting a question mark into people's heads. Now, I need to be clear that a lot of my views vis-a-vis the state of Israel, Zionism, and the Holocaust have changed radically since October the 7th, 2023. And the reason why they've changed is because I don't believe the official story. I don't believe 10/7. Maybe it was a, you know, some sort of setup, maybe, but it looks like a false flag. And in any case, everything that happened after 10/7 looks brutal, highly destructive, not proportional, and ultimately indicates a total disregard for anybody's lives but their own, and that is the IDF. And it's funny when you corner people on this, when you really corner them on this issue, especially if you bring up issues like the indigenous peoples of North America, which, by the way, we're not talking about thousands of years ago. We're not talking about opening up the Bible and saying, look here, look here, look here. We're talking about peoples whose land was stolen, ripped off, who were murdered at a very large scale by multiple European groups. If there's an argument that somehow that plot of land in the Middle East is belonging to the remnant of the children of Jacob, then I would say that the indigenous peoples of North America have a stronger fucking argument. And does that mean that the ethical question is the only issue? No, because if you push an Israeli on this, and I found this out in the last couple years, if you push somebody who supports Zionism on this, where they end up is might makes right. Where they end up is Rachel Corrie meet bulldozer. And if the bulldozer runs her over, nobody cares because might makes right. That is essentially the moral position of the state of Israel. And that works up to a point. So you need to understand my view on this issue, the issue at hand, and that is the Holocaust. I don't know how much of that story is true. I have 3 degrees to include a graduate degree in history. I've studied a fair amount of World War II history. And the standard version is, you know, the Nazis started out with concentration camps in the 1930s. And then there was the Wannsee Conference, you know, in 1942. Prior to 42, lots of Jews were killed. They were just killed kind of randomly, you know, gunshots, torture, blah, blah, blah. But after the Wannsee Conference in 1942, they turned it into an industry. And understand, in 1942, Albert Speer took control of the German economy, and if he hadn't, I think the Germans would have been defeated in 1943. So here's a guy that added 2 years to the German war machine, who took German production from 30 types of half-assed tanks down to 3 or 4, who essentially gave lifeblood to Germany, and if he had been in charge of the German economy at the beginning of the war, things could have turned out a lot differently, folks, in many ways. So we are led to believe that this brilliant architect, this industrial genius, this person that understands operation science, this person would have approved of the Wannsee Conference. This person would have approved of this plan. The plan is batshit crazy. It's highly wasteful and stupid. Under what circumstances in 1942 would Albert Speer approve of it? And if you say, well, Hitler would have told him, you know, Hitler told him to blow up Germany too. Guess what? Al didn't do that because that would have been retarded. Okay? So I don't know which version is true. That I just want to make that clear. It could be that the Wannsee Conference version is true. It could be that other versions are true. If you're going to ask me, how do I verify this? I can't. At this point in American history and in the history of my own life, I look back upon the libraries and the books and the printing shops, whether it's Princeton or the Rand Corporation or UW Press, and where I end up at is, I can trust people maybe. I can't really trust a lot of these institutions at all. I think they've been lying. And then the question is, where have they been lying? How have they been lying? Here's the thing about trust. Once it's lost, it is hard to repair. And once you start believing that somebody who said they were telling you the truth was in fact lying, then where does that stop? At what point do you say, oh, they lied about this but not that? Really? Prior to 10/7, my view of Zionism was that, well, it was a meaningful way to protect the people that was being persecuted per the story of Jewish persecution, and that Theodor Herzl, who promoted, developed the concept of Zionism in the 19th century, that he never intended what happened. But now I'm of the opinion that he intended everything that is happening, all of this. That if you in fact dug deep enough into that man, you'd probably find out, if you could get the data, you would probably find out that he wanted all of it. All the murder, all the terrorism, all the destruction, all of the chaos. And he didn't know, couldn't have known what a nuclear bomb was way back when. But if he had known, he would have wanted that too. Okay, that's Zionism. And it is a death cult. It's a cult of suffering. If you don't see it that way at this point, I can't help you. The entire philosophy behind it is, we have suffered. People have caused us pain. We have trauma. Ergo, we will fix our trauma by creating more trauma. And that is broken. That is irrational. That is chaotic and destructive. Almost all the time, my whole life, going back to when I was a little kid, because I think I was a couple years old, at the time of that Yom Kippur War. So going back to when I was a little kid, I was constantly told over and over again, they can do this because of the Holocaust. They get to kill all those people because of the Holocaust. They get to like rip off land and steal from people and cause a catastrophe to these other folks because of, the Holocaust. They can do whatever the fuck they want because of this historical event. Okay. We can question a lot of things these days. You can question whether a man is a man or a woman is a woman. You can question Jesus and God. You can question religion. You can refute and deny and mock everything that just about everybody holds sacred. In fact, in American pop culture, there is nothing sacred except for the Holocaust. You ever think about that? So am I a Holocaust denier? Technically, no. In fact, if we were to apply religious concepts to all of this, it would be more like I'm agnostic. I don't really know. I know that I've read several books on World War II. I can tell you a lot about the Eastern Front. I can tell you how hard that war got for Germany after they invaded the Soviet Union. I can explain to you that after 1941, 75% of all German resources, people, technology, oil, steel, everything, 75% went to the Eastern Front. Okay? That's the reality of World War II. When we invaded, In 1944, the Germans treated the Western Front like vacation time. Like you take a division off the Eastern Front and you rotate them to the Western Front because it just isn't as bad fighting them Brits and those Americans. That's the part of the history I can tell you that I believe is probably true, but even there, what do we know? What are we sure of? If we are at the point where the institutions that supposedly brokered the truth for centuries are not valid, and maybe they were never valid, then where do you go from here? I don't know, folks. That's kind of the next topic. Where do we go from here? So we have a broken trust model in this country and probably around the world right now. And you could blame modernity. I don't care. You can blame modernity. You can blame globalism. You can blame postmodernism. I don't really give a fuck who you blame, but we have a broken trust model. I'm going to go down a list of things that people, in my opinion, they won't admit to it. They generally never admit to it. But these are things that people use today, in 2025, as a basis of trust. Is this person fat or skinny? Is this person pretty or beautiful? Is this person handsome? That means this person is trustworthy. Does this person wear nice clothes? Is this person really rich and wealthy? That means they're trustworthy. That means you can trust them. Did someone do a hit piece about you? Basically promoting you through celebrity or infamy. Well, that's also trust, right? That's a kind of sheep dip trust. I know this personally. A few months ago, this reporter, Anna Merlan, did a ridiculous hit piece on Jared Fitton and Wide Awake Media. And I say ridiculous because there was a deeper story, which clearly she was not interested in. And she wasn't, either vertically or horizontally. There are tons of fakers on Twitter, Anna. I mean, I think, you know, you picked one. There are so many that are actually bigger and more damaging than Mr. Fitton. Why narrow in on this one? Well, I'll tell you why. It's called sheep dipping. And maybe she didn't do it on purpose. Maybe she was just a useful idiot. But she inadvertently sheep-dipped this guy, this piece of shit, Jared Fitton, this fucking grifter. She upped his stock price. That's also a kind of trust, by the way, that's broken. This person has a college degree. This person went to Harvard. They must be trustworthy. This person has a high IQ, like it's 160. They must be trustworthy. This person wears a cross. This person is a rabbi. This person's a priest. They must be trustworthy, right? They drive a nice car. They drive a Tesla. That means you can trust them, right? I was on social media and I saw somebody do this post about Dan Bongino, and I don't know much about Mr. Vagina other than he's former Secret Service and he did a lot of Fox News crap and he's been one of these talking heads, ex-government people. And you know, now he's back in government again, and I don't really know this guy. I don't care about this guy. The reason why I don't know or care is because I don't know, and the reason why I don't care is because I've learned a lot of lessons in the last decade. And basing someone's trustworthiness simply on their reputation, whatever that is a really dumb idea because reputation is brokered. It really is. I've seen slices of it in my life. Okay, I've seen people go through this process. Having a quote-unquote trustworthy reputation is a brokered thing. It's a sheep-dipping process in a lot of ways. It's like Alex Jones. He had to go through the hero's journey, didn't he? He had to go through the poop hole of existence. He had to be persecuted and beaten down, only to rise up again, right? I mean, here's a guy who, yeah, got in trouble for questioning the mass shooting. A long time ago, he questioned that. And yet the same guy has no questions about whatever happened in July of 2024 at that quote-unquote assassination attempt. He can look at that event and say, oh, yeah, Trump, you know, did the whole Iwo Jima shot because, you know, the Lord was looking out for him. It looked fake as F to me. But Mr. Jones doesn't question it. Why? Because he's been sheep-dipped and he's on the good guy team. A lot of Americans get grifted. A lot of Americans get conned. And you're not always conned by people like Alex Jones or even people like this shithead Jared Fitton. Sometimes you get conned by just that phone caller, by that random Facebook or Twitter account, by that person you think that lives in Chile and really loves you, and they sent you naked pictures, but they never really do include the face, do they? Never really. Not really. Or they're looking away, right? Americans judge trustworthiness based upon characteristics that do not indicate trust. They do feed into the idea that might makes right. And if you want to base an ethical system upon the most paleo basic shit you can possibly find, then might makes right, be beautiful, be handsome, be strong. That's the only moral principle people follow at that point, and that is trust. But folks, at this point in human history, that is dysfunctional. That is broken, and that is used against you. The reason why people support a lot of politicians has nothing to do with whether they're trustworthy, but it has a lot to do with, are they ugly? Are they skinny? Are they fat? Are they old? Are they young? Do they look like me? Do they remind me of my grandpa or my uncle? Are they famous? Did they have a podcast? Do they make a lot of money? Did they make a lot of money? Were they on some type of game show? I can guarantee that if you are basing your decisions of trust based on those characteristics, you are going to be disappointed. I mean, think about crypto. If you've never been in that world, let me tell you something. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors bullshit. But from the outside looking in, it looks so cool. It's so much technology, Dan. It's the future. It's sexy. It's like, you know, Elon Musk and a Tesla, and we're all going to go to Mars one day. From the outside looking in, crypto gains trust because of buzz, because of hype. Because in America, people will trust based upon hype. And a lot of Americans get taken advantage of. So here's the advice I can give you. Don't base your trust upon features that are not immediately observable, which is another way of saying, I wouldn't trust anybody on the internet at this point if you don't actually know them. And that pretty much includes me too. Don't trust them. If you want to, understand the risk you're taking. You're taking a risk to trust somebody. You better see it through the right lens. It's kind of like Dane Wigington. I listen to his weekly podcast. I've been doing it for more than 10 years. I believe a lot of what he says is true. I also think some of what he says is not true. Now, does that mean I should stop listening to him because I disagree with him on a few points? I don't know. As long as you're aware of the possibility that that person could be taking advantage of you, that that person could be conning you, I don't have an issue with you listening or reading. Why would I? I do it too. But you do have to have on that Sovietology helmet. You do need to ask questions. We do. I do. You do. We have to ask questions. We cannot just trust because someone is famous, someone is beautiful, someone is talented. Those are great things, but that's not a basis of trust. But I don't think anybody hears this. I think we're so deep into the superficial that it's pointless to talk about it. Next topic, kind of related. Here is an article from thedailymail.com, and it was written by Xantha Leatham, executive science editor, and it was published on 23 April 2025, headline, Experiments to dim the sun in bid to curb global warming will be approved by the UK government within weeks. Now, I'm not going to read the whole article. I'm going to talk about it, and then I'm going to read a section of it. I started noticing, probably around 2006, 2007, what was going on in the sky, whatever it was not quote-unquote contrails. Contrails probably do exist. I'm not going to debate that. I will tell you that nobody designs a high-performance military aircraft to produce these things. So in general, you don't want your aircraft to produce them unless it's on purpose. And most of the commercial aviation uses what's called a high-bypass turbojet engine, which basically means they're air pumps. The air goes in and it gets pushed out, but it doesn't get heated up. There is very little, you know, pollution relative to the old-fashioned way. So yeah. Could contrails exist, get produced? Maybe. But what I started noticing in 2007 was way off the hook. It didn't make any sense. And then about 5, 6, 7 years later, I noticed something else. I noticed that every time this happened, about 20, 30 minutes later, the sky would just fill with clouds. When I was a kid, and there's, like I said, I've said this before, there's a musical. The clouds roll in. It's not the clouds drop in, the clouds roll in. When I was a kid, the wind would bring in the clouds. The clouds just didn't magically appear. So there were things I noticed a long time ago when I started listening to Dane Wigington. And as I've mentioned in the past, you should take him with a grain of salt because I don't really know where he's coming from. I cannot tell you or verify him. I've never met him. And he goes off on these weird tangents that leads me to believe he could be a sheepdog, which means his purpose is to sit on the fence, keep most of the sheep either in the fence line or close enough that they don't get too far away. He could be a sheepdog. He keeps talking about how dire the situation is, but what he recommends, you know, is handouts and sweatshirts and documentaries and lawsuits, and it sounds, that's where he loses me at this point. Like, this is dumb. You know, the very things that could have been done 20 years ago are going to suddenly save us today. It doesn't make any sense. So, like I said, you can listen to a person like that, but be careful. In terms of trust, some of what he has to say might be true, but that doesn't mean you have to just wholeheartedly trust Dane Wigington. So the article, the headline I just read, deals with the idea that the UK government is about to approve several schemes for geoengineering. And I think there's a Dr. Symes or Professor Symes who's referenced in this. This type of article is, it's kind of a limited hangout, which means that it's like the missing pages from the 9/11 report. When you discover the missing pages, you really do find out that you already knew it, kind of, and that it doesn't really tell you anything. I think that this is being done because where they have to go next in this process, if they think they can continue it, is going to be so impossible to hide. That basically, why not? Why not tell people, we've not been doing any geoengineering, all the particulate matter comes from China. Why not tell people that now all of a sudden you're going to do it? Because if you expect to take it to the next level, where it's going to be so toxic that a lot of people will just drop dead, they will. They will go into anaphylactic shock and drop dead. They will reach a level of toxicity in the atmosphere where it won't be, oh, the kids got the sniffles for 2 days. The old people got the sniffles. You know, we had the gumbus snow and the sky painting, and now everybody's got the cold. No, it'll be worse than that. It'll be more or less toxic shock syndrome, immediate death. So if they're about to up the formula, beyond what you see every day, and what you see every day is god-awful. Even on a mostly sunny day. We've had a couple mostly sunny days here in Port Angeles. And I ask people, what color is that sky? And they just look up puzzled. Is it white? Is it blue? Is it off blue or off white? The key point is, it's neither blue nor white. And it's definitely not clear. But at least it's mostly clear, right? Mostly sunny? A whited out sun, a whited out sky is mostly sunny. If you read the article, they talk about side effects. I'm going to read a section. The study from Rutgers University in New Jersey found that suddenly halting so-called geoengineering would have severe impacts on our climate. The stoppage would drastically accelerate climate change with severe consequences for the planet's wildlife, researchers said. Rapid warming after stopping geoengineering would be a huge threat to the natural environment and biodiversity, study co-author Professor Alan Robach said. If geoengineering ever stopped abruptly, it would be devastating. So you would have to be sure that it could be stopped gradually. And it is easy to think of scenarios that would prevent that. Imagine large droughts or floods around the world that could be blamed on geoengineering and demands that it be stopped. Can we ever risk that? Have you seen any droughts or floods recently? What the fuck do you think happened over Appalachia? What was that? Do you think that was magic? Do you think that was the wrath of God? Or is it entirely possible that was Raytheon and maybe Lockheed and whoever else at all works for DARPA doing the geoengineering? And as Dane Wigington has said, they probably have been doing this since World War II. And it's entirely likely that about 25 years ago, the focus of their effort, which was the North and South Pole, stopped working. And so they needed to go further north, further south. They needed to spread the love about 25 years ago. I mean, 9/11 is an interesting thing, right? Because it gives you a baseline. 9/11 gave them a baseline. Air traffic over the U.S. was shut down. So if you'd seen any of those chemtrails during that period, they would have said it was military. But what I'm thinking is 9/11 was intended in part as a baseline. Yeah, that's crazy. Why do that whole terrible thing to simply shut down air traffic over the United States? Well, there's probably more to it, probably a lot more to it. But one of the features is that it gave them the ability to take a sense of where things were at. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see, folks. You need to do your own thinking on this, but remember, don't base your trust on whether you think somebody's handsome or good-looking or has an interesting name or is a stoic. Somebody can call themselves a stoic and they're not actually a stoic. I'm just saying. Next topic. So here's an article from the New York Post, and I'll probably read most of it. It's written by Anna Young and was published on April the 20th. That's 4/20/2025. Headline: Southern California mayor says he wants to purge homeless population by giving them all the fentanyl they want. A Southern California mayor is under fire for wanting to eliminate his city's homeless population by giving them all the fentanyl they want. A shocking remark he reinforced by calling for a federal purge. Lancaster Mayor R. Rex Paris shared his controversial views during a February 25th city council meeting when a resident took issue with the city's attempt to address the homeless crisis by enclosing all the unhoused at an abandoned golf course near a residential neighborhood. What I want to do is give them free fentanyl, Paris said, as he interrupted the woman's comments, according to the footage. But Paris, who's been mayor since 2008, has no regrets about wanting to give homeless people the highly addictive, often lethal opioid. He told Fox LA in an interview on Friday that he was referring to unhoused criminals who refused to be helped. Oh boy. I made it very clear I was talking about the criminal element that were let out of the prisons that have now become 40 to 45% of what's referred to as the homeless population, Paris told the outlet. They are responsible for most of our robberies, most of our rapes, and at least half of our murders. He added, without offering proof or data to support his claims, there's nothing that we can do for these people but give them the fucking fentanyl. Paris added that he didn't think anyone would take his comments literally, explaining that fentanyl is so easy to get on the streets that it wouldn't have made a difference if the city gave it away for free. He touted Lancaster for providing more innovative solutions to the homeless population than any other city in America before calling for a federal purge. Quite frankly, I wish that the president would give us a purge because we do need to purge these people, Paris said. Now, is it harsh? Of course it is harsh. But it's my obligation as mayor. I gotta protect the families. I gotta protect the kids. I want these people out of our city. That's it. The article sort of wanders off giving the Democratic perspective on all this. And in reality, there's no party here. If you lived in Seattle, you'd be surrounded by a lot of liberals and progressives and Democrats who will give you all kinds of interesting ideas about what should be done with homeless people, to include putting them on McNeil Island, like taking the 20 or 30,000 homeless in King County. Because truly, I don't know how big or small the number is. You know, homelessness is a lot like going through the process of sinking into a black hole. The event horizon is really street homelessness, but everything prior to that, you're on your way there. So there's levels. There's living out of your truck home homeless. There's living in an RV on the street homeless. There's living in tents in the woods homeless. There's levels of it. I've been through a couple levels. I've never been over the event horizon. I am not saying that being homeless is good or bad. I don't think it's something that you're proud of. I also don't think it's something that people should have to feel shame for. And if you think it's really, really easy once you cross that event horizon to get out, understand, without a place, without an address, you can't get a phone. You can't get a driver's license. You can get an ID. That's about it. You can get an ID. Without a home, you are locked out of a lot of stuff, folks. And you're stuck in a situation where a lot of people will look at you and kind of just wish that you would get shipped to El Salvador. And I'm okay with it. Like, this story could be a trauma monkey, which means this Paris guy could be a joke. This might just be an article designed just to piss people off. And to tell you the truth, that's as likely as any explanation. But I believe this attitude represents a lot of people who own homes in this country, who were told that they would retire on their homes, that rich Chinese people and rich people from India and rich people from Denmark and Germany would come to America, their home prices would spike, and they could retire in Chile. They were told that the Home Depot economy would lift all the boats and everything would be A-okay. We would put up a ton of crappy housing and all of our bank accounts would become quite full. We were sold on a lot of bullshit. And the people, the bitter clingers, are those folks bitterly clinging to their mortgages, telling each other every day it has to keep going up in value. Nothing can stop it because that's what I was promised. A lot of people are heading for disappointment. Do I think they're going to round up the homeless and put them on McNeil Island? No. I don't think there's the diesel fuel. I don't think there's the resources. As I've told you so many times, and I'll keep repeating, there are things that are real and there are things that are fake. When you start seeing, okay, the government, the mayor, the governor of your place where you live, when you start seeing them put up anchored triple strand concertina wire, then you know it's about to get real. But if you see rubber cones, it's fake. 2020, for people who knew, should have understood how fake it was. But if you see anchored triple strand concertina wire, it's about to get real. And that applies to this issue too. People can talk all day about how they want to just give all the homeless fentanyl. Let's have a conversation about that before we go. As you know, I've questioned a lot of the stories. I call them logistics stories because they go into the category of stuff you'd read in Pravda in 1985 in the Soviet Union. Oh, the capitalists set fire to the meat factory again. That's why there's no meat at the magazine. Oh, the capitalists poisoned our crops. That's why there's no wheat or bread. They had tons of those articles all the time telling people why there's no meat, why there's no bread. Of course, it was bullshit. Of course, the truth was their society was falling apart, but they published article after article explaining why. These articles that deal with fentanyl could be the same thing, brothers and sisters. And understand, people who are terminal, who are in pain, specifically people I've known and maybe people you've known, and guess what? Way before the vaccine. People going through stage 5, because there is no stage 6, they need fentanyl. And if there's about to be a fentanyl shortage, you've got to pump up the moral perspective on that. You got to get people to connect fentanyl with evil, so even the stage 5 patient won't get any. So that's another angle on the story too, isn't it? To cover up a fentanyl shortage coming soon. Dan, that's crazy. The Chinese have tons of fentanyl, enough to kill everybody. Isn't it funny? We can read an article like this, which essentially, this is a mayor justifying mass murder. We can read the article, we can question the article, we can deny the article. This guy can say this shit all day long. But you go to Germany and you deny the Holocaust, you go to jail. If you go to Germany and you write an article about giving homeless people fentanyl, you're okay. If you go to Germany and write an article about people eating people because it's better for the environment, you are okay. If you go to Germany and you put a crucifix in a giant glass of urine, people are gonna give you a fucking award. But if you go to Germany and you simply question a historical event, you go to jail. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, Mayor Paris, he's a real great guy. If this is a real person, his soul is just, you know, very diseased. I'd say I'd feel sorry for him, but I don't. I don't feel sorry for him. So at work, some of the high school students have talked about a meme that's going around. It's a 6-7 meme. And I found an article on Dexerto.com written by Cotter Abed, published on February 4th, 2025, so it's a little bit dated. Headline, what is the 6-7 trend on TikTok? Viral LaMelo Ball meme explained. The 6-7 trend is going viral on TikTok and Instagram with edits of basketball player LaMelo Ball taking over platforms. TikTok and Instagram reels are buzz with the 6-7 trend, a meme centered around basketball star LaMelo Ball, and the repeated lyric 6-7 from the song Doot Doot by Skrilla featuring G Herbo. Was that English I just spoke? But what does 6-7 actually mean? And why is it taking over social media? Here's the breakdown. In the context of Doot Doot, 6-7 refers to 67th Street in Chicago, likely a nod to Skrilla's roots or affiliations. The song, released in December 2024, gained traction in January 2025 when TikTok users began creating memes and edits with it. The trend began with a December 2024 video by TikToker Matvi Grimblatt, who paired commentary on LaMelo Ball's 6'7 height with a Doot Doot song. The video showed a montage of LaMelo Ball clips after the commentator mentioned his height. Okay, I'm not going to read more of this. This is silly. But it's interesting because this is an artifact of pop culture, and you'd say to yourself, well, you can block it all out, but really, can you? Especially if you're a parent. Like, I'm not a parent, but I kind of understand the perspective that it's almost impossible to block this stuff out because kids are going to talk. Why wouldn't they? You want your kids to have friends. Well, kids like talking about interesting stuff. When I was a kid, there was a story that floated around about a kid, maybe the kid in that commercial for that Life cereal or something, the Life cereal kid. And he had a bunch of Coca-Cola and he ate a bunch of Pop Rocks and his throat exploded. And that story went around, and I guess that was kind of a meme, but there wasn't any frickin' internet, it was just kids. The story, you know, there's lots of stories, like the Phil Donahue story, the canceled episode that dealt with what? Procter & Gamble, and that weird moon symbol, and whether it was connected to Lucifer. So this stuff has been a feature forever. Kids talk, kids love to talk, you want your kids to be social. So it's not surprising that something like this in the age of the internet and social media would exist. I think it's funny. I don't think it's, to me, it's more or less inert, which is to say, I can't see it as being good or bad. It might represent some aspects of the collective unconscious that's a little bit unhinged, but whatever. Anyways, I did a t-shirt around it because I thought it was silly and I thought it'd be fun to do a t-shirt. So if you see the t-shirt and you like it, it comes in more than black. I like the black version. From now on with the t-shirts, I'll be using the slightly more expensive t-shirt, which is the Bella Canvas 3001. I've been using the Gildan 5000, and I think it's an okay product, but I'm going to go with the slightly more expensive one because I have another t-shirt from a previous situation that I like, and it is that Bella Canvas 3001. So anyways, if you do order a t-shirt, it will be a slightly nicer one, but the price does not change. So that's good news. Anyways, it is Thursday, April the 24th, 2025, 67, 67, 67, 1967. It's almost 7 a.m. It was 6 a.m. Today is April the 24th. If you add 2 and 4, you have 6. You add a 1, you have 7. So have a great rest of your day.